Let's pray over the word. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that we've been able to gather together this morning. I thank you that already we have been edifying, encouraging, exhorting. We've been building each other up through our worship, through testimony, through the word. We thank you, Father, that you've been speaking to us already this morning. We praise you and thank you for the local church, your vehicle to move on this earth. Hallelujah. Thank you that we are your church. Amen. And Father, now I just speak out gratitude and thankfulness that we're going to get into your word. Thank you that we're about to plant some seeds into our hearts. Speak out that these seeds will be understood so that they're not stolen. Understood so that they will germinate and grow and produce fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time I pray that, I think of a field of barley. Very apt at this time of year. Just so much fruit out there. We just need some nice, clear days without rain. Carol, get speaking on that. No rain. We need to get the harvest in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John 6. Back to John 6. We are working our way through John. John 6. We are calling this series Simply Jesus. We're looking at the life, the ministry of Jesus. Just simply seeing what he does, what he says, who he meets, who he encounters. And I've loved the book of John for a long, long time. You know that, especially the start. Where for me, I've always seen this as Jesus coming to end religion. But it's always just been through turning water into wine and then turning over the tables in the temple. That's where I've seen this picture. And it's like, it is obvious. It is so obvious that that's a picture of ending religion. But for me, it's always kind of stopped there. And then we get on to the feeding of the 5,000, the healing the guy at Bethesda, and et cetera, et cetera. But the more I study John, the more I see this is his theme through everything that I'm reading at the moment. Time after time after time, we see Jesus coming to end religion. I thought I'll just define religion again, because there's various definitions out there. Don't Google what is religion, okay? Please don't Google. I don't often do this. That is a pastoral command. There's some of you sitting there thinking, oh, I think I'll go and check out what Google says later when we get too late. Yeah, awesome. Too late. But I thought I'd just define what I believe religion to be again, because there are misconceptions. I've been having great conversations, by the way, with my personal trainer on a Friday. Because Friday is close to the weekend, and it's always, what are you doing this weekend? Like, oh, you'll be at church. He knows the answer. So then we get into these conversations, and we've been having great conversations the last couple of weeks about what we both understand religion to be. Because he's in the world of the world, very much so. And there's huge misconception out there about what religion is. And a huge misunderstanding about the fact that Christianity is not a religion. So we've been talking around that. He says, oh, you're religious, aren't you, Vic? You're into religion, aren't you, Vic? And the shock on his face last Friday when I said, well, actually, Dan, I hate religion. But you're a minister. Yeah, and I hate religion. You not run a church? Yeah, but I hate religion. So we're having some great chats with him. We talk about loads of different things, but it's fantastic. So religion, this is my definition. I see religion as the personal effort of men to come to God. The personal effort of men to be accepted by God, and the personal effort of men to receive from God. When I look at religion out there, that is what I see. That's what I see people doing. They're in their religion. They have to do this to get that. They have to do this to be that. They have to do this in order to be accepted. That's what religion is. But now, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because we're living the other side of the cross, this side of the cross, because we are under the new covenant, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do things to come to God. He's come to us. We don't need to do things to be accepted by God. He's accepted us. And we don't need to do things to receive from God because he's given us all we need already. So why do we need religion? We don't. That's why John is saying religion's dead. All these encounters we're seeing, the big banner across the top is religion's dead. Subtext, or it should be. Because we know it's alive and well and kicking. We no longer, this side of the cross, hallelujah, we no longer need to rely on our own efforts. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty chuffed about that. Because I know what my own efforts are like. Carol's laughing. She knows what her efforts are like. Pitiful, isn't it, Carol? You know, we just can't. We saw, was it 2 weeks ago, that the most zealous zealots in the world couldn't achieve their own righteousness through their efforts. And you're not the most zealous of the zealots. Thank God, says Sean. So they couldn't, if they couldn't achieve it, you couldn't achieve it. Look at the end of Romans 9, start of Romans 10. The Jewish nation and the Pharisees, they couldn't achieve their own righteousness. And they were the best of the best at trying to strive. But us, no. No point. So, yes, the religion should be dead. And the last three sermons have been like an eye-opener for me, really enlightening, illuminating, whatever you want to say, about what I now see is this major theme that John is bringing to us. And I'm not saying, whoa, how great am I, but I've never seen this anywhere else. I've never seen anyone else teaching encounter after encounter about this being the end of religion. I know one writer who wrote about turning the water into wine. That's what really kicked this whole thing off for me. Turning water into wine was the end of religion. But just this last 3 weeks looking at these encounters that I've known for years and years and read about for years and years, and suddenly I'm reading it and God said, end of religion, end of religion, time after time. It's just been astounding. Yes, it is in pictures. Yes, it is in typology. Yes, we have to rightly divide the word. Because I haven't found it yet. Okay? I haven't found it. I'm searching through John when Jesus says, I have come to kill religion. And there's no words where John writes, Jesus came to end religion. Almost, Jesus says, can we destroy the works of the devil? We've said that religion is of the enemy. But nothing explicit. It's not written down in there. He came to end religion. It's just in the same way that feeding the 5,000, it's not written. This is a picture of God's bountiful provision. But we understand that because it's a picture. It's an analogy. It's typology, yeah? So John's not actually, John never wrote, Jesus came to end religion. But that's what he is shouting in every single one of these encounters over the last few weeks. Nunzi mentioned the other night in Bible study that this section that we're currently working our way through is a two-day period in an 18-month window. Was Jesus on holiday before and after these 2 days? No, I imagine he was performing miracles and ticking off the Pharisees and, you know, doing horrible things every Sabbath that he's doing. No, he wasn't on sabbatical. He wasn't on holiday. But why did John choose to just write about these 2 days? It's all about ending religion, because that's his big message in this gospel for me at the moment, that Jesus came to end religion. He's trying to show the world, this John is trying to show the world, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is about relationships and nothing to do with religion. Jesus is all that is needed, not religious practices, not religious cliche and religiosity and all this stuff. That's not needed anymore. So what are you going on about? What have the last three sermons been about? Well, we saw the healing at the pool of Bethesda through Jesus. He couldn't do it through his own efforts. Remember that? He couldn't get there himself. He couldn't use his effort, his works, his strivings to get the healing. Jesus just came along and said, do you want to be healed? And he was. End of religion. End of your own efforts. End of strivings. And then one of my favorites, Jesus goes walking across the water. The guys are in the boat. Experienced fishermen. Yeah, they could sail a boat. Not this one. Not under these conditions. They couldn't save themselves. What a picture that was when I saw that. That's a picture of salvation. But it's a picture of salvation without your efforts. So they could row and row as much as they could. Didn't take them instantly to the other side. You know, they were under real pressure, real stress. They were lost. And then Jesus wanders on. What did they do? They received him into the boat. That's all they had to do. The second he was in the boat, other side. What a picture that is. It's all to do with Jesus. Stop rowing your boat to try and get to the other side. Just receive Jesus in. Rowing your boat is religion. Receiving Jesus in is grace and truth, the new covenant. End of religion. And then we saw him feeding the 15 to 20,000. Ignore the 5,000. That's just blokes. Yeah. And you know, blokes, when you go on a picnic, do you get to go on your own? No, hangers on as well. So you've got other people with you. 15 to 20,000 he was feeding. Who provided the food? Jesus. According to the word in John, who distributed it? The disciples. What did the people do? Nothing. Sat down and received. Again, that's another picture of the end of religion. The end of your own efforts. Don't strive to get this. Don't strive to get that. Sit down and receive it from Jesus. That's what the new covenant is all about. Striving, trying to get from the Lord is old covenant. Were any of you, I know there's some old people in here, but were any of you born before the cross? Not even Evelyn. I used to say, yeah. You know, what is it in the House of Commons? It's the elder of the house. Yeah, Evelyn is the elder of the house. That's a term of endearment. It's not a term of abuse. I used to say it about Campbell, but bless him, Campbell's now in glory, so we don't say that about Campbell. But where was that coming? I'm completely lost. Even Evelyn wasn't born before the cross. Even Evelyn's not living under the new old covenant. I really should just stick to my script. All pictures of Jesus coming to end religion, yes. Absolutely. Of how no work is now required. Now, I'll talk later. We should be looking to do works. But works of righteousness, works of faith, works of love. Not works to be made righteous, not made works to receive, not works to be loved. No work is now required to receive from the Lord. It's now all about Jesus and what he has done. And that's a wonderful picture. Each one of those is a wonderful picture of new covenant Christianity. But these miracles, these encounters, what I saw this week, these accounts have all been building up like a crescendo to Jesus answering one question. Just leading up to one statement, building up. You know, we all love a crescendo, don't you? Just that sound building up. And in comes the biggie. Well, this is like these accounts over the last few weeks, turning water into wine. The encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well, whose name we don't mention. The pool at Bethesda. The healing of the nobleman's son. I've just mentioned them. Feeding the 5,000. Jesus in the boat. All been leading up. John has been leading us by the nose to this one statement of Jesus. John's been taking us through all this typology to one of the fundamental truths of our faith. The truth that makes our faith a relationship and not a religion. Summarizing everything that we've seen so far. And in this answer, Jesus, I'm building it up, I'm doing a crescendo now. An answer that summarizes New Covenant Christianity. Tells us what New Covenant Christianity is all about and what religion is not. And I think Michelle's just showing Mark what that verse is. No? I thought people were preempting what the verse is going to be. We all know. I think everybody knows. This is what John's been building up to. John 6:24. No, I'm going further down. I'm going to read from John 6:24. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, so let's go further back. 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, that's where I wanted to start from. So they'd lost Jesus, neither his disciples. They also took shipping and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus, seeking for Jesus, sorry. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Now, I do love the King James, but sometimes it's just like, when did you come here? It would be a lot easier. When camest thou hither? Jesus answered them. Well, he didn't actually, did he? You know, I say Jesus does that quite often. People ask him, he's like a politician. People ask him a question, he doesn't answer the question. He tells them what they should be knowing. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. No fishes again. We need to work out why there was, anyway. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, here we're getting up to the crescendo. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Here's the answer. This is what John's been building up to in all these accounts. This is New Covenant Christianity. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And you pray, and you tithe, and you help people, and you... No? Nothing. Not in my Bible either, Sean. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus and the disciples had gone. We know they were on the other side of the lake, the sea, whatever we called it. People still looking for them. They found them, or rather they found Jesus. And they say to Jesus, when did you come here? And like I said, Jesus doesn't, he could have said, oh, last night I just walked across. Walked halfway, met the guys, got in the boat. No, he didn't say that. This is so obvious. It does not answer the question, but tells them what they need to know at this point of time. And he's quite pointed. He says, you're not interested in the miracles. You're just interested because I fill your bellies. You're just interested in getting food. Well, I read that and I just thought, aren't we all? You're just interested in getting food. What he's saying is, you're just interested in your physical needs, not spiritual. But that's another sermon. You're just interested in your physical needs, not spiritual. And he says, don't labor for physical meat. Don't labor for physical things. But look for the meat that I can give you, the meat that God the Father sent with me. That's what he's saying. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you've got to eat. You shouldn't be bothered about that. Look at the real stuff that I can give you, the real meat. That's a bit like Matthew 6. Jesus says, therefore, Matthew 6:31, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. It's the same today, isn't it? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus' message is consistent across the gospel. So what he said in Matthew 6, at the end of Matthew 6 there, that's what he's saying in John 6. Don't worry about the physical. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. Don't worry about carnal things. Worry about spiritual things. Oh, not even worry. Seek after spiritual. Think about the things that I can give you. But they didn't hear that. Do you notice that the question that they come back with in John 6? They didn't hear that. They just heard the word labor. They obviously didn't hear the rest of the stuff. Because their question is, oh, what labors do we have to do? What works do we have to do? Jesus says, don't work after the physical stuff. Try and get, you know, what I'm after. Oh, well, what works do we have to do? They just heard that word, labor. Now, I was thinking about, let's be honest. If you come to Christ, that's actually quite a decent question, isn't it? Quite an honorable question. What do we need to do for you, Lord? If you truly love him, what do you want me to do to please you? What do you want me to do for your kingdom? What works do you want me to do? But it's got to be a question with the right motives. So they say, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus says, with a statement that John has been building up to, the final, well, maybe it's not because I haven't read on, the final nail in the coffin of religion, of effort, of works, of strivings. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, I looked up the Greek, just in case there's different words for work and labor. It's all based on ergon, so as in ergonomics. So it is all about working, laboring, moving. Jesus says, and look at the is it singular, is it plural, blah, blah. Look at all the stuff around this. He says, this is the work of God. Singular. Singular. One work. That you believe on him whom he hath sent. We're talking about God the Father. Who did God the Father send? Jesus Christ. Your one work, guys, what Jesus is saying, and this is not just to the disciples, remember, this is to the crowds, so we can kind of extrapolate that, I believe, to this is to mankind. This is Jesus saying to mankind, your one work of God is to believe on me. End of. Not pray, although I recommend you pray. Not tithe, although I recommend you give. My usual one, not help an old lady across the street, although I think you should. It's a good thing to do. But this, how else can you interpret that other than all we got to do now? In terms of the work of God or for God, is believe on him who we have sent. Now, if we do that, lots of things come out the other side because of our belief in him. And you will give. You will love people. You will help people across the street. You know, all those good works will come, but it's as a result of this. The one thing that God wants of you is to believe on Jesus. That is it. Where's religion? Where is religion in that? It's gone. There is nothing there about works and efforts and striving. Just believe on Jesus. He said it, not me. Don't have a go at me, all you religious people out there. That's Jesus saying that. It's in red. He didn't say, oh, you know, guys, I really need you to strive. And have efforts. I really would like the works of the law. That would be great. That's really what I want. No, Romans 3:28 says, we did this last week, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Justified, just as if he'd never sinned, in the eyes of God. Nothing to do with works, just faith. Now, if you read the passages before, it's pretty clear, it's faith in Jesus. That's it. Faith, faith, faith. That's it now. Faith in Jesus, nothing else. That is the work of God. That is what God requires of us. Religion is dead. We don't need to go to the temple. I'm already at the temple. Carol, you're looking at the temple. Does that mean we don't help people? Does that mean we don't love people? Does that mean we don't pray? Does that mean we don't tithe if you want to, or not give? No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. But we need to get the motive behind what we're doing. It's all about motive now behind works that is important. We do good works out of faith in him, not to be allowed to come to him. See that? We do these good works because he's in us now. We're not trying to get to him. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is what is important to God. Not your works. Not what you do. Faith. That's what's important. That's what Jesus said in John 6. Really. Believe on him whom he hath sent. Have faith. That's what it's all about. It's faith, not works. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3 talks about motive. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It doesn't matter what you do, if you're not doing it with the right motive in this context, love, it's meaningless, it's rubbish, it's nonsense. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I might remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. This is not about faith, it's about love. But it's highlighting that motive is so important. I'm in the prophetic. I know all mysteries, which means I understand all the words. I've got all knowledge, and I'm so faithful. But I don't love that tow rag down the road. Nothing. Nothing. Paul could use that word he uses earlier when he talks about his qualifications. I think he could use that here. Hey, Sean? A very explicit word for done. That's what all that stuff that you're doing, it's all done. It's not done in the right motive. We operate out of faith and out of love because of what he's done. Not to get right standing, not to receive, not to be blessed. I mean, goodness sake, we're blessed already. You don't have to do anything to be blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all, nothing missing, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's talking about in your spirit. You've already been blessed with everything. Why would you have to perform? Do religious acts to be healed. You've already been healed in your spirit. Why should you have to beg and plead and give and rent your clothes and fast and in order to come out of poverty? You're already out of poverty. You're living in abundance because you've got abundance in your spirit. He's already given you all blessings. So you don't need to have all these religious acts to be blessed. You already are. Religion's dead. We should be driven by love, not to be loved. We need to make sure we don't look to God on the human level. Because just about every relationship we've ever been in you have to perform. Child, parent, school, schoolmaster, husband, wife, siblings. You have to perform, do things to be loved, to be accepted on the human level. But God's not a human. We don't have to do anything now to receive from him, to be blessed by him, to be accepted by him. That's all gone. That's religion. And religion is the opposite of Christianity. But we've had it driven in. And my PT trainer, all the way, Christianity is a religion. Just another religion like everything else. Christianity is unique. Christianity is the only religion where God came to man, and it's not about man going to God. Here's the difference, one of the big differences between religion and Christianity. And hear very carefully what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should not make sacrifices, okay? But just hear me out. Religious people want to and are willing to make sacrifices to please their God. That's what religion wants. You have to make sacrifices to appease your God. And if you make those sacrifices, he will be pleased with you. And he will love you. And he will benefit you. He will bless you. He will accept you. So, certain religions don't eat meat. Maybe not a sacrifice for you, Carol, but a huge sacrifice for me. With a chicken and a leg of lamb sitting in the fridge at home. That would be a sacrifice for me if my religion said you can't eat that thing. Walking barefoot on pilgrimages. Or you see some of these pilgrimages in Tibet with them crawling on their belly around a lake. That's a sacrifice because that's what their God says they should be doing to be accepted, to be loved. Don't wear certain clothes. Don't work on the Sabbath. Sacrifice your precious time to pray 5 times a day in a certain direction so that your God will accept you. That's religion. All sacrifices people are willing to make to appease their God and please their God so that they can receive from him. In that context, in that meaning of sacrifice, we don't have to do sacrifices. Why? Hallelujah. No more sacrifices to be made in our religion. Jesus was our sacrifice. He made one perfect sacrifice. And I don't care how good you are, you can't improve on that. Don't care how good you think you are. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, we know this is one of my favorite things. Why did he sit down? Because his work is finished. Hallelujah. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Don't need to look at the Greek. The Greek for forever is forever. Hebrews 10:12. So excited, I forgot to tell you the verse. Hebrews 10:12. After he had offered one sacrifice forever. What does that say? Don't need any more sacrifices. That's why he turned over the tables and let loose all the doves and all that. Don't need any more sacrifices. I'm here. I'm going to be the one sacrifice, and that's all you'll ever need. And he's done it. The writer of Hebrews confirmed that. For by one offering, that's verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. As soon as you come to Christ, put your trust in him, you benefit from his sacrifice, and you are perfect in the part that God sees. Your spirit, you are perfect. No more sacrifices needed. That's the end of religion. No more sacrifices, no more works. That's what religion is. Job done, sacrifice over, work finished. Amen. We have right standing with God due to our faith in his sacrifice. That was what Romans 3:28 was about. No sacrifices any man can do of themselves to receive right standing with God. There's only one way to come to God, to get right standing, to be received. And that's John 14:6. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Oh, how arrogant. No, he's just telling the truth. That's all. He could have said, no man is blessed by the Father but through me. No man is made righteous in the eyes of the Father but through me. No man is healed but through me. No man is prospered but through me. It's all through Jesus. No works, no effort, no striving. That, thinking about this, there is book after book after book on theology. Yeah. Just look at the bookshelf behind Sean. Sean's bookshelf behind him on Zoom. Sorry, Sean. I'm sure there's more stuff there in the theology. There's book after book after book on theology. Yeah, and I'm sure Sean would testify. Big, thick books about theology. Great, big, long words, hard to understand. I have one, a book that's called the Lady Bird Book of Theology. That's what I work from. And I read this stuff sometimes. It's hard to understand. Where it makes it look difficult. But Christianity is simple. Believe on him whom he hath sent. That's what New Covenant Christianity is all about. We're calling this teaching series Simply Jesus. It could be called Jesus Simple. That's all our faith is about. Faith in Jesus. Everything else comes out of that. Oh, but Vic, I'm not supposed to pray. Yeah, you pray because you love the Lord. You're grateful for the Lord. You've got loads of things to be thankful for. 95%, I've said this before, 95% of our prayers, every sentence should start with the word, thank you. Sorry, two words, get my grammar right. Words, thank you. Our faith, true Christianity, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but I do say true Christianity because there's lots of Christianity out there that's not New Covenant, it's not true. It's religious. You can't sit there, you can't take communion this six-month period because you're in sin. That's religion. That's not Christianity. Our faith, true Christianity, is about relationship with him and our faith in him. It's not about your religious works. Now, because you have faith in him, because you trust him, because you love him, we should display, or those people out there should see good works. I've preached this before. Our good works is not for us. No, our good works is not to make us feel good. Our good works is to show a hurting world Jesus Christ. Our vision, our mission, our job in India is not to make us feel good. It's showing Jesus to the people outside that compound in Karamuru that Jesus is good and Jesus provides and Jesus is worth worshipping. I'm not saying we shouldn't have good works, but those good works come out of our faith in him, come out of our love for him, come out of our gratitude of what he has done. It should be, oh Lord, I'm so thankful for what you have given me. Let me put something in the pot. Lord, I'm so thankful that you have healed me. Let me tell you about how Jesus can heal. That's a good work. But we're not doing it to benefit ourselves. We're not doing it to benefit from God. If we are a Christian, we say things like we are people of faith. We are in faith. That's because true Christianity is all about faith and not works. Or it should be. We do because we have received. We don't do to receive. Yeah? We do because we have been made righteous. We don't do in order to become more righteous. You're either righteous or you're not. The second Jesus came into your boat, you were on the land. That's righteous. If you're still at the sea, you're not righteous. There's no level of, oh, I'm a little bit righteous. So if I give, if I give 11% of my income, that's going to make me a little bit more righteous. No. I mean, we joke about it. I can't remember what I did, actually. I came home, I can't remember what I did. I said to Nancy, well, that's all my righteous acts for this week. I went, it was an elderly couple that crushed a car. So I stepped in. You know, you make that mistake. You step in and help someone, and you're there 4 hours later. I felt really righteous after that. So I came up to Nancy and I said, that's me. That's me more righteous. That's my righteous acts for this week. No, you know, joke about it, yeah. But that's not the way our lives should be. I was really good to those two people for 4 hours. So God's going to really like me more. That's not what it's about. Not what it's about. We do because we are loved. We don't do to be loved. That's a religious mindset. Doing to be made righteous is religion. We're trying. We require a faith mindset, amen? Not a religious mindset. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Kind of begs the question then, what do you believe? What is it we're to believe? Well, that's an easy one. It's what the Bible says. What the Bible says. It's not just believing. See, there are people that believe in God. They say, I believe in God. Not enough. Not enough. It's about Jesus. You've got to believe what the Bible says about Jesus. Yeah, that he is the Son of God. But get your noodle around this. At the same time, an equal part of the pre-existent Godhead. That's a nice bit of theology, eh, Sean? That's right. And it's a unique, an individual part of the pre-existing Godhead. That's just to say he's God. He is divine. And that this God became flesh and dwelt among us. We need to believe that. We need to believe that he died on the cross and he rose again. We need to believe that he dealt with the sin issue, but not only the sin issue, he dealt with the sickness issue, the disease issue, the poverty issue, the lack issue. To believe that he ascended, rose again, ascended, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's seated because the work is finished. I deliberately say the work is finished. I didn't say his work is finished. The work is finished. Not only his work, but our work. As a means of coming to God, as a means of being made righteous, as a means of receiving from God, being accepted, that is finished. That work is finished. Because his work was perfect. I know you guys are brilliant, but you're not better than him. It's done. We are made righteous as a gift of grace through faith. We are healed as a gift of grace through faith. We're made prosperous as a gift of grace through faith. We've already received all we need. We have all spiritual blessings as a gift of grace through faith in him. Get this into our heads. Get us into our hearts that we are all that as a gift of grace through faith. And I tell you, you will love more than you've ever loved. You will love people easier. You'll love offensive people. Try not. You will love offensive people. No, I mean eye contact. You will give more than you've ever given as an act of love, not as an act of need, that I need to give in order to receive from God. I've got to do this. No, but you'll give out a love. You'll give out a gratitude. You'll do more good works by accident than you've ever tried to do in the past if you can get the fact that we've got a gift of grace through faith. Everything comes as a gift of grace through faith. We get that as a mindset. I tell you, the love and the good works will flow. But if you're trying, striving, end of Romans 9, start of Romans 10, you're going to fail. All about your mindset. Religion is dead for us, or should be, but it is very subtle. We need to kind of watch over. Sometimes we can get a little bit religious, and it's subtle. But Jesus came to end religion as a vehicle to come to God. He came to end religion in order to be accepted by God. He came to end religion as a way to receive from God. We are now under new covenant Christianity. I keep saying it. We're living this side of the cross. And it's nothing to do with you. It's wonderful. It's nothing to do with any. You sounded very aggressive. It's nothing to do with us. It's all about him and what he's done. I mean, I try and hammer this into us every week during communion. It's about him. We do this in remembrance of him. It's all about his finished works, nothing about ours. New Covenant Christianity is all about him, what he has done, and our faith in that. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, Jesus. Simple. Amen. Hallelujah.